In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard today one of the Lord's most beautiful parables, that of the prodigal son. We'll speak about this parable in just a moment, but before we do, I have a riddle that I'd like to share with you. You know the answer to this riddle. Don't say it yet. We'll talk about it later in the sermon. But the riddle is this. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What are they? The more you take, the more you leave behind. What are they? Now, this parable of the prodigal son is one that the Lord gave to his disciples, one that he gave to the Pharisees, one that he gave to the people that he came in contact with, those people who were in need of reunion with God and reunion with one another. It's a parable about reconciliation with God and with one's fellow man. It's a parable that we know because it comes up every year as we're on our journey towards Pascha, that great celebration of our reunion with God and with one another, that great celebration of our reunion with life, our resurrection. The context that we find it in the Gospels is in the Gospel of St. Luke, given together with two other parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And it's given right after people are questioning the Lord and why he's receiving people who are sinners, people who are publicans and harlots, people who are immersed in sin, why he's receiving them and eating with them, speaking to them. And he gives these parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then finally this parable of the prodigal son, so that he might make the reason for his coming known, that he comes to reconcile. This is actually the first time that the Lord gave this parable. Does anyone know the last time that he gave this parable? It's about a minute and a half ago. He gave it to us just now in the context of our own movement towards reconciliation, in the context of our own repentance. The Lord continually gives this parable to us so that we might know where we're going, what direction we're heading in, where we are returning to. Just this past week, we had the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, and we had something strange happen this past Wednesday and Friday. I hope everyone knows what that was. Wednesday and Friday were fast free days, right? If you missed it, you have to wait till next year. It's actually sometimes a more difficult thing not to fast, to keep the spiritual life on track while we're feasting, while we're not being so watchful and attentive, maybe, to what not only goes into our bodies, but what goes into our souls. This was a challenging week for me personally. I put on, as I told someone yesterday, I put on 2 pounds, and it's something of a shame, you know, for me to have done that, because we don't have to lose our self-control when we are not keeping the fast. But it's a time where we are meant to be humbled, where we are meant to realize that we are no different than anyone else, that we share a common humanity with those who practice spiritual things and those who don't. That we are all brothers and sisters. And the publican and Pharisee week is meant to remind us of that. It also, in my case, and maybe in some of yours, you have to decide for yourself, it also makes us identify a little bit with the prodigal. What it's like to go out and to overeat or overdrink or spend our life with pleasures, to waste our life. Waste this God-given time, this gift of personhood, to spend it on things that are less than becoming us. This is a time for us to realize that we have left God, and we have fallen away from him and become less than we are meant to be, his sons and his daughters. So there's something of a transition from the parable of the publican and Pharisee into the parable of the prodigal son. Another transition that we see, actually, if you look at the three characters in last week's parable, you see the publican, and you see the Pharisee, and of course, the third character there is God himself, whom they're both praying to. We see also three characters in today's lesson. We see the prodigal son, we see the older son, and then we also see the father, who is that image of God himself. And we see in both cases the enmity between the publican and the Pharisee and between the two sons. And we see they're falling short of their heavenly Father, God himself. This is meant to spur us on to spiritual development, to a movement towards greater maturity in Christ, to become like our God who has revealed himself to us. Spiritual development is one of the things that's often not focused on in our society. We develop in so many other ways, with our education, with our careers, with our professions, with our finances, with our social relationships. We're looking for constant development, but we often forget the most important thing, our spiritual development. To develop the inner person and to come to maturity in Christ. This is a time for spiritual development, a time to inwardly make a journey, to head in the direction of God's heavenly kingdom. In just 2 weeks, we'll have the commemoration of Adam leaving paradise. Adam and Eve being expelled from paradise because they sinned against God. These were the original forebears of the human race who were created in God's image and likeness. They were created to be like God and to be in God. And they fell away from this. We commemorate them on the eve, actually, of entering into the great fast, because this is the time for us to recover the image and likeness of God, for us to be restored. It's interesting, in today's parable, we see both sons bearing the image of their father, just a biological thing. But we see in the case of both sons, actually, a lack of the likeness, that they were not really like their father. In the case of the younger son, he wasn't like the father in that he went out and he wasted his life. He spent himself in sin. And he lived a manner that was not in accord with the life of his father. In the case of the second son, the older son, we see that he actually lived a life, at least externally so, in accordance with his father. That he remained at home. He did his father's work. He never let his father down in that sense. He was what you would call a good son. But yet he did not resemble his father, because externally he had everything in order, but internally, in his inner person, he was very different than his father. His father was full of patience and compassion and love. And as we see in the parable, the older son was full of anger and resentment and jealousy. The older son was a prodigal himself, inwardly, spiritually. Now, the riddle that I mentioned initially, the more you take, the more you leave behind, what are they? Does anyone know an answer to that? No? Okay, the answer is steps. The more steps we take, the more we leave behind. And I mention this riddle because in this parable, we see steps being taken. We see steps being taken by the prodigal. He realized his error, and he made that journey back. Every step he took away from God, he took back to God. And we see also the way, or the path, that the older son should walk, the steps that he should take, to come to maturity in his spiritual life, to become like his father, the steps of forgiveness and compassion and love. And in taking these steps, both sons can actually not only have a true union with their father, becoming like him not just externally and in appearance, but inwardly and in reality, but also steps towards one another. That family can become what it's meant to be by these steps of transformation. This is, of course, an image for us as a Christian community. Our movement in this Lent is to become virtuous, to acquire the attributes of our Heavenly Father that we see in this parable. To acquire that virtue, that way of life, that inner spirit. But also, by doing so, to actually have better relationships with God and with one another. To become a family, not just externally, but a family internally. To be really brothers and sisters, in truth and in spirit, and in the depths of our being. This is what's open to us in this Lenten season. This is what this parable speaks to us about. You know, the church gives us many writings for us to consider. Gospels are certainly the most prominent of them. But they're also the sermons on Gospel lessons by the Church Fathers. St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, gave a sermon on this Gospel. And he speaks to us about what it is to squander God's gifts. And he says that squandering God's gifts is not just the natural physical life that we've all been given. But the squandering of God's gifts corresponds also to the spiritual life. That we can squander God's gifts of grace. And he says this applies to us in the church more than to anyone else. Because we receive so much of God's grace. The enlightenment of his teaching, the sacraments, the mysteries of the church. We've received all of these wonderful things poured out upon us. We have really the pledge of future inheritance and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have what that prodigal son asked for in the beginning, the share of the inheritance that belongs to us. We already have that now. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, St. Ambrose, that we can squander this, that we can lose this Holy Spirit, that we can leave God. We who are in the church. Now, I know that this is a difficult thing to talk about, but it is something that we must talk about. Because if we're honest with ourselves, this happens all the time. This isn't just for people who are maybe born into the Orthodox faith or raised in the Orthodox faith and then have left the church. It's true, there is an aspect there, but it's true for all of us who remain in the Orthodox Church, that we can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and be renewed in that every Sunday and then lose them when Monday comes or when it's a fast-free Wednesday or Friday like a priest. We can lose the grace that's been bestowed upon us. And we might think, though, well, this doesn't happen to me. I haven't really lost God's grace. And of course, if we have this thought, we haven't lived long enough. And I don't say we haven't lived long enough to sin, because you live a day, you live an instant, you know what sin is like. But we haven't lived long enough to have our eyes open to our own sin, to the degree and to the measure in which we've fallen from the grace of God. You know, the eyes were open for the prodigal son only when he hit rock bottom, when he realized that he was dying, when he realized his own mortality. This is the moment where the human being realizes the extent of his or her sin, when we realize our mortality. That's when our eyes become open and we realize that we're in a foreign land and we've been here way too long. We can't continue this way. We must make a return. Step by step, something's got to change. This is what the Christian life is. And I want to read to you a short section from this book on Great Lent by Father Alexander Schmemann. This is, again, one of those writings that help us understand these gospel lessons. He says, on the third Sunday of preparation for Lent, we hear the parable of the prodigal son. Together with the hymns of this day, the parable reveals to us the time of repentance as man's return from exile. The prodigal son, we are told, went off into a far country and there spent all that he had. A far country. It is this unique definition of our human condition that we must assume and make ours as we begin our approach to God. The man who has never had that experience, be it only briefly, who has never felt that he is exiled from God and from real life, will never understand what Christianity is all about. And the one who is perfectly at home in this world and its life, who has never been wounded by the nostalgic desire for another reality, will not understand what repentance is. He says this so eloquently, what it is to wake up and to realize that our life is being lost here. All of us, every single one, our life is being lost. And it's time to make a return to our God who loves us and who will meet us when we're still a long way off and embrace us. Great Lent starts out hard, no question. It's hard to make that 180. It's hard to make those first steps back. It's hard to realize our own alienation, to do something about that. But the moment we do, the moment we start to have some hope, That there is a brighter future for us. That every step we take, we are leaving our former selves behind. Something wonderful. It happened to each and every one of us, especially in this Lenten season, when we make this return, that we experience God's embrace. We feel the love of our Heavenly Father. And though we want to just simply be His servants, so that we can escape the death of this age, He makes us once again into His sons and daughters. He clothes us with the best robe, puts sandals on our feet, a ring on our finger. He kills the fatted calf for us. He welcomes us with great celebration and great joy. This can be our experience in this great Lent. This can be our experience in life, if we want it. Brothers and sisters, let us want it. Let us desire it. Let us return to our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.